You're listening to Around Comics, episode 230, brought to you by InStockTrades.com and Netflix. Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where each week a revolving panel of guests talk about everything in and around the world of comic books and comics culture. And Around Comics is recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, drop on by. Hey there, folks. Christopher Niesman here. Let's get you introduced to this week's panel. First of all, Mr. Brian Salazar.
Hello.
How you doing, sir?
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm not an accountant, and I'm not tired.
Exactly. And our resident accountant, as tax day rapidly approaches here, has taken the rest of the night off to go home and go to bed.
He was fading quickly.
Fading fast.
He did his best.
We got a great replacement.
We sure do. Local Chicago.
Yeah.
Artist.
You know him as most recently the regular artist on Jack of Fables. He is Chicago's very own Mr. Tony Akins.
We're on?
Yes, we're on. We're rolling.
We're here. We're live.
Well, hey.
How you doing, good sir?
Hey, I'm doing well. Good to see you guys.
Yeah.
You too.
Yeah, so Tom was not kidding. He is your accountant.
Well, not our accountant. No, okay. He is a accountant.
Yeah, because the accounting for Around Comics keeps people, you know.
That's
a full-time job. And, no, he is an accountant.
So he is very tired.
He's pulling like 80-hour weeks right now. Okay. We do this every year where he's like,
can't do it.
Yeah. So we
got to take up our slack, man. We've been really irresponsible. Do this quick.
pretty well. He does. He works on a lot of like foreign folks that work in the United States but are residents of other countries. I think that's what he's primarily done
corporate
in the past.
Stuff.
Yeah, corporate stuff.
I don't know.
Which is all very complicated. Very complicated.
I don't ask too many questions.
You probably shouldn't ask questions.
You know, you're actually a returning guest. You were on with us about two and a half years ago for way back, like our 50th episode.
Yeah, it was like it was real impromptu too, because it was there was a mini convention going on.
The Chicago mini con, as we called it. You're always the guy that we invite you to come and you don't show up, and then you just show up out of nowhere. And it's like, wait a minute, what the?
You could have had a table.
That's my superpower, misdirection and.
But yeah, you were here. You showed up. We had a nice little show here, and that's now transformed into the Windy City Comic Con.
The precursor to the Windy City show, which you're one of our special guests this year.
Looking forward to it.
Excited to have you there.
So this is we're like the founding fathers here, sort of that show.
Absolutely,
you know, we are the what do you call the guys who.
The chumps?
Yeah. The chumps of Aquitaine. No. The forgers of the Constitution. What is that term?
Oh, the founding fathers. The
framers.
The framers.
Yes, yes.
The framers of the next great Chicago comic scene. I don't know.
Well, you know, it's nice. It's nice to be able to do it. We love the reception of it. That more than anything, the amount of first time convention goers that went last year, people just kind of walking down the street that, you know, were kind of interested in comics. Well, so it's nice to have something back in the city.
It was a great show, and the location is terrific. I mean, like I said, spread the gospel.
All right. Well, hopefully, we'll talk a little bit more about the Windy City Comic Con a little bit later in the show. But first, I want to let you know that this episode of Around Comics is brought to you by InStockTrades.com. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more, all at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 do, in fact, ship for free. And next time we record, we'll be doing our book club episode, and that'll be on The Adventures of Luther Arkwright by Brian Talbot. And you can pick that up right now for 45% off the cover price. It is a low $10.42. can't beat that. Nah, you can pick up all of the Fables trades and all of the Jack of Fables trades.
Especially.
The
Fable trades. You want some fun?
It is. And I'll tell you what. What's
fun?
Let's jump in and start right there with Jack of Fables, because I think that's what most comic book fans today know you by. Mm-hmm. That's your regular gig now, right?
It is my regular gig. I'm the primary artist on the book. Russ Braun is the alternate artist who is just kicking major tail on the crossover.
He's pushing you?
He's pushing me.
Yeah?
He's pushing me, which is good, because it's good to be pushed, you know. I mean, and it's a great crew to work with. I mean,
now your inker is also a fellow Chicagoan, Andrew Peeple. Mm-hmm. Doesn't Andrew ink your stuff?
Yeah,
he does a great job.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And with the crossover, where he's doing a lot of pinch hitting. Is that the term?
Is he doing some art as well, or penciling well, as well as inkling?
He's inking me. He's inking Bucky.
Oh wow.
The lead artist, and he's inking Russ. It's inking anyway. Andrew's
he's all over the place.
He's all over the place. And
Mark Buckingham's awesome.
Yeah, he is.
You want to talk about pushing? That's a hell of an artist team that Bill and Matt and all, you know, the writers have been able to put together.
It's the best team at Fables. I mean, it's, you know, at least, you know, in numbers. I mean, you look at 100 Bullets. It's just Brian and Eduardo. Yeah. We can take them.
You know. Oh, now we're getting into like
creative smash.
Yeah, it's like creative, you know, team, you know, death match here.
You know, it's just two of them. You know,
bring on Hellblazer, bitches.
There's eight of us, and I'm pretty sure Bill's armed. So
he's a card carrying member of the NRA. I know he has, you know, conservative political views. But
he's just moved up to Minnesota. From Vegas.
Really?
Yeah.
Where's he at in Minnesota?
I have no idea.
We got to get him down here for the Windy City Show.
Yeah. He and Bucky moved at the same time. Bucky moved to his mother-in-law's house in Spain, and like the same week, Bill moved from Vegas to Minnesota. And you know, the only reason I can think of moving from Vegas to Minnesota for Bill,
he likes snow.
He likes snow, and he's trying to tip the election up there.
Wow!
Yeah. I have to move. We have to get this.
There's no way Al Franken's gonna win this shit. No way Franken's gonna win.
Well, let me tell you, Al Franken, aside from being funny, he's a shootist. He competes in handgun.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he does. He's a medal winning shootist. I mean, we're talking like old school stuff. Like,
oh yeah,
you know, Western style. And so,
dude, I used to work for a company that made shooting wear.
Yeah,
yeah, it was. Bob Allen Sportsman. Bob Allen was a champ, like Olympic level trick shooter and trap shooter. And I used to work for Bob Allen Sportswear in Des Moines, Iowa. It was my first job out of college. And so, yeah, they were hardcore about it. They had like framed silver dollars on the wall that, you know, it's crazy stuff. You know, I was kind of putting your career history together. And Bill Willingham is, mm-hmm. he's kind of been there.
Yeah.
Was that the connection that got you the work on Jack of Fables? Because you worked on Elementals, which is mm-hmm. one of the quintessential independent titles of the late 80s, early 90s. I mean, Elementals was fantastic. And that was, you know, Bill Willingham. Whenever people talk about, you know, this new writer, Bill Willingham, it's like, shit, this guy's been writing stuff forever.
Yeah.
But is that the connection?
Well, there's that's part of the connection. I mean, it's when I first left comics in the mid 90s, the last thing I worked on was an Elemental script that Bill had written called Ghost of a Chance. And it was a special double issue. Alex Ross did the cover, and Brian Azzarello was an editor at the time at Kimiko. So I leave comics on a Bill Willingham script, and when I, you know, land squarely back in comics some 8 years later, it's with Shelley Bond, who was formerly Shelley Roberg, who was like one of the original editors at Kimiko. So it's like this weird.
You didn't go very far.
Yeah, I know. It's like
things should have changed more.
There's a lot of water under the bridge to be standing on this side of the bank. You know, on this bank, it's kind of weird.
Moving bridge.
Yeah. So there's these old ties that are good.
Yeah, Kimiko was cool, man. I loved Justice Machine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There was some great stuff that came out of Kimiko.
Yeah.
But I was a big Elementals fan, and that stuff actually holds up fairly well.
Mm-hmm.
It's they were kind of modern comics before modern comics. Now they're a little dated now, but it was definitely, I think, a forebearer of what was to come in comics.
And
I wish there was more of those comics in the 90s than some of the other stuff that we saw.
Oh yeah.
Was that part of you when you talk about leaving comics? Was that because of the bust, or was it just creatively stuff not going on that you wanted to be working on?
Well, the bust was part of it, and as a creator, then I was pulled in a lot of directions as far as where did I want to see my career go as an artist. Did I want to, continue working for second tier publishers that were doing, first rate work, or did I want to move up to the top tier publishers that were doing, third rate work?
Yeah.
And I was really torn because, eye candy is very tempting, and I'm glad that I chose not to stick with it, because while I was doing Elementals and Star Wars and that stuff back in the early 90s, I was also storyboarding. And so I had my fingers in two different pies. So when the bust came, I just chose to just storyboard, because I was frustrating myself with the comic book choices. They were great choices, but I just didn't feel like I was able to allow myself or to get out of my own way to do the best work that I could. And it takes maturity. It takes patience, which is what I have now. And I just didn't have it then. I really wanted more to happen with every issue that I got.
How did it get you back?
Wow. I guess I truly love the art form, because even though I wasn't doing comics, I was still doing sequential work, but in the form of storyboards for television commercials. But I really hated the commercial work, just because it's commercial work, and the stuff, it doesn't have the soul that working in comics.
The creative outlet isn't there. The
money's great.
There's the benefit of that.
Yeah, the money's great, but I was really torn. I when I first started out in storyboarding, I wouldn't do certain types of I wouldn't do certain jobs, alcohol, tobacco, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then that just kept creeping. That kept creeping further. I was finding myself more and more discontent with the type of work that I was doing in advertising. And I just really stopped. And around the time I stopped, I got a call from Shelley. And Jill Thompson got a call from Shelley, because Jill Thompson and I were sharing a studio. And Jill's talking to Shelley, and Jill says, okay, here, hold on. And she hands the phone to me, and Shelley wants to talk to you. And Shelley says, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing. You want to draw comics for me? I'm like, okay. I can do that. And that was, that was like my first issue of Fables.
So the key to success is share studio space with Jill Thompson, and you can get a job in comics.
Yeah, that's kind of how it happens. I mean, I've never tried to get into comics, never ever. It's always come to me, and I'm sure that's a bitter thing for some people to hear, but it's the truth. It's the truth.
A lot of people just threw their pencil brushes on the
water. Yeah, it's the truth. That's the truth. I can put this bitch down again and it'll come back. Watch me.
when you were out of comics for those 8 years, were you paying attention to what was going on in comics? Were you
very, in the most peripheral sense? I mean, you know, I still had friends who were doing comics. Mm-hmm. I still had friends who were reading comics. I was still reading comics. So I was paying attention to what, you know, Ross was doing and I was working on stuff myself on property myself, but earnestly, but with no real sense of like, oh yeah, I'm going to take this to Dark Horse or, right. Oh yeah. And now that I'm back,
real end goal in mind.
Yeah. It was out of, you know, just the love of the thing.
Sure.
And now that I'm back in, it's like, I've got this work and I really should, you know, put a pitch together. And, you know, but
that goes against your entire style.
I know,
man.
It does. It's like, I'll be damned if I give it to Vertigo.
Take that, Kinberger.
I'm already working for you, these people.
You just need to leave manila envelopes full of scripts lying around and sample pages.
That's a good idea.
Someone will publish them and put your name on it. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know, looking at Vertigo and especially the Fables universe that has really kind of popped up, is that there's almost, I don't want to call it a house style, mm-hmm. you know, because we kind of grew up with house styles. Mm-hmm. Whenever you opened up a DC book, it's like, that's a DC book. That's a Marvel book.
Yeah.
But Vertigo and then Fables especially really has developed a style. And it may be the paper stock that it's printed on, but there's a look, a feel, and a vibe to Vertigo books. Mm-hmm. Is that something conscious that the editors have done, or is you guys as a team of artists have said, you know, this is kind of the feel that we're going for with these books?
I think it's more the editorial culture, because I've never made, well, okay, the only conscious decision I've made creatively on whether I'm drawing Fables or Jack of Fables has been that this is, it's a book based on fairy tale. Mark Buckingham is, you know, as the primary artist, has established this feel of character and space and place. And so I certainly am not going to steer away from that. I'm going to try to, you know, toe that line. So in drawing these books, I try to keep to more of an open, lighter kind of art. You know, unbroken holding line, you know, minimal silhouettes, stuff like that. I mean, it's very rare to see a great deal of black within the figure when I'm drawing the book, which is, which works, you know, fine for me, because my influences kind of, you know, come from the clear line school. So I think it's more of an editorial decision that these books look this way.
With Jack of Fables, I mean, obviously, you know, when that title started up, you know, Fables have been going on for a while there. Mm-hmm. And like we had said, Buckingham had established a look for that mm-hmm. extremely well.
And also La Medina, you know, way back.
And going into that, coming from not doing comics and going into that, I mean, how much work going into it did you have to do to sort of establish what you wanted to do with it, but at the same time knowing, okay, this is a very established universe. It's a, you know, it's a big cult sort of book, and
it's still a process that's going on right now. Professionally looking at, I got my first professional job as an artist in 83. Drawing, you know, storyboards, doing advertising, which really pushes you. A studio setting really pushes you to produce a mm-hmm. great deal of work without having to having the time to be super critical and jam yourself up.
And they're not going to hold your hand either.
Exactly. So coming on to Fables, and looking at the style that was there, I don't want to say I tried a generic approach to the art style, but I certainly did not. Right before I landed on Jack, I was on Pop at Midnight, Hellblazer Pop at Midnight.
I remember that. Yeah, yeah. That was great.
And what I did for that was I kept it loose. I drew. I didn't use any straight lines, no straight edges, and just kept it really organic and, you know, jagged. Mm-hmm. But coming on to Fables, you know, it's smoother. So I guess, you know, I reined myself in, kept it clean, and only now, I mean, we're talking Jack 36 is
it's starting to add up to being a pretty healthy run of comics.
Yeah, really. Now. Yeah, I mean, I've got the script for Jack 36, and I've already started drawing the issue, and it's I'm still developing that style.
I'm sure on one sense of it, you want to. I mean, certainly at this point, want to establish your own style too. Yeah, I mean, you want people to look at it and go, "Oh, well, that's Tony Akins."
Yeah,
because Jack, while it has had a great run, Jack of Fables is not going to, it's not going to be a 400 issue run of comics.
How dare you?
Probably. Nor will you as a creator probably want to be on something for 400 issues.
I don't know.
You're having that much fun with it.
I'm having that much fun with it. You know, it's woe unto the DCU. That's all I say. That's all I say, because they will never have my black ass on a book. Because there's really nothing over there that I want to do.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's, aside from the bat,
that's all anyone ever.
I know.
I don't know how many times I've talked to guys who work at Marvel and or work at different places. Like, oh, what do you think about doing over at DC? Ah, all I'd want to do is Batman. That's the only fucking character anyone wants to draw at DC. Well,
you know, and yeah, I really want to develop my own style and just get released into the, you know, second tier of the, you know, the pantheon of awesome artists that I look at and just, you know, my jaw drops. And in order to do that, you have to, you know, have a tenure on a series at DCU. But there's nothing in the DCU that really strikes me, and that could be because of my own ignorance, you know, because I'm not a huge superhero fan. But, you know, other than the Bat, maybe Green Lantern. Here's the thing: I do not, and this is sort of a conditioning that I've taken on in the past 10 months. I'm reading more Superman comics because I'm not really a fan of Superman. It just, you know,
now's a pretty darn good time to be reading Superman.
Well, you know, tell you. Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely's
All-Star.
Yeah, has just turned me around on that. And because I'm a huge fan of Frank Quitely's. And so it's like, okay, you know what? I'm going to expose myself to some Superman and sort of wrap my head around the possibility of, if I had to do it, I could do it.
Well, you know that team's going to be doing the bat. They're doing Batman and Robin is going to be their follow up to All Star Superman.
Sweet,
but I can see that.
Yeah, so I'm willing to assign myself to a DCU book for the sake of posterity. But Jack,
you'd let them let you do Superman, maybe
Superman might be worthy.
Yeah, might be
at some time in the future.
Our days have come, but there's a night. Don't put yourself in solitude. Who can I trust in my life when people tend to be so rude?
Jack is such a great book to be.
Jack's such a great character.
He is.
For any of those characters from Fables to spin off, I mean, he's such an exciting.
Well, he's
dynamic.
The greatest fable.
Yes,
he is absolutely. The greatest fable.
absolutely. I was telling Bill, you know, you can't you let him back into Fables on this crossover. You realize it's his book now. It's his
he's
book.
He's established himself
so
much.
I think about this constantly. why you know, what would be in the DCU for me? You know, drawing superheroes. It would be, you know, a lot of buildings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, a lot of buildings.
A lot of cities.
A lot of cities. But just, you know, Jack has, you know, so much. Well, just the Fable series in general just have given me so many opportunities to draw so many different stories. I mean, mm-hmm. My first was Fables 22. That was a Cinderella. And that was, you know, that took place.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. In a hotel room.
That was that was the espionage issue,
exactly.
Right? That was a great issue.
It took place in a hotel room in Paris. You had like one, maybe two pages that were street scene. The rest of it was all interiors, you know, it was like, and that was great. Then, right after that, I was on the Big B War Stories, which was World War II.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Know? Yeah.
And then, they had me on Pop at Midnight and then back on Fables. And with Fables, you know, you've got the history of these characters, you know, in their fabled realm and in our reality, and plus the history.
And then in between.
And then everything you want to do to fill it in. Sure.
Yeah. So, sure. You know, I've gotten to do the Western series. I'm entering territory I can't talk about now.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And then there'll be that. And then there's
and then that thing. One thing.
Yeah.
And then Jack's in outer space. Yeah. Oh, shit. Oh.
How much of the Fables, the main title stuff, did you sort of steep yourself in that before getting a drawing, or did you just kind of go with the scripts and go with it?
I went with on Fables 22, I went with the script. And then by the time the Big B War Stories came along, I had pretty much caught up on everything that was Fables at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still catching up. I still have, the current trade to read.
That's okay.
Yeah. The current trade to read. And as I'm talking, I've got this filter on. It's like, yeah, you can talk about that. Talk about that. No, can't talk about that.
We're used to it.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah.
We haven't talked about the other writer on the series, which I guess has Matt really kind of taken over primary duties on Jack? Or is it still a collaborative process?
It's still a collaborative process. For me, it's really hard to tell because when the book started out, I know, of course,
Matt Sturgis.
Matt Sturgis of Austin, Texas, who I love like a brother in drag. Matt Sturgis and Bill Willingham, you know, there's odd and even numbers on the issues. And I think Matt gets top bill on the odd numbers.
Okay.
On the even numbers. So, but when a script gets to me, it's really hard to tell
whose fingerprints are on what parts.
So
they're very collaborative in the scripts.
Yeah, they are.
Okay, that's neat. And we're seeing that a lot in comics these days. A lot of writer teams, and then one guy will kind of go off. We saw it with like Ed Brubaker and Matt Fraction and Bill Willingham and Sturgis, and we see some other great teams, Jimmy Palmiotti and Justin Gray. So that I like that we're seeing that in comics, and it's almost like a mentor apprentice relationship really for a lot of these guys.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, that's the way artists worked it for as long as I know. You have a primary artist, and then somebody's doing your assist, and then your assistants, you know,
learn and
go and
steal everything from you. And
why,
Jim Lee, you bastard!
I loved you. Look at you, you're a little clone man now. Bill has, he's got like an entire cadre. Is that right?
He doesn't even touch a book anymore, does he? He's got a bunch of underlings, and he
sits back and watches it roll in.
He doesn't do anything anymore.
Yeah.
He's in Minnesota, and
and
he just sits up there
trying to affect
mountain
elections. And he had his gun.
Well, back to Jack. I mean, it's always been my opinion that the most interesting characters for an artist to work on are bastards.
Yeah.
And Jack is a bastard, first and foremost. But how fun is it sometimes to run across panels and scenes and stuff with that kind of a character that you know? I mean, I can only imagine reading something in a script where you just go, oh, wow, that's going to be fun. That's going to be
What a dirtbag.
It's a treasure. I have to say, it is a treasure because, you know, he does the things that you want to do. Mm-hmm. He does the things that and I think I hope that's something that I bring to the character. I got a card from Bill over Christmas saying that I was something about my personality being like Jack's personality.
I can't remember. Didn't know how to take that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I took it as a compliment, of course, because you know I'm very close to Jack. But yeah, he really creatively he encourages me to sort of be, you know, a little cheeky with the art. And I'm not just talking about, you know, when he's like
Goldie here,
you know, Goldie, or when he's not wearing pants, which is just more and more often these days. When I think it was the Vegas arc, Jack of Hearts, where I started to be aware of certain points in the plot where I would have Jack break the fourth wall. Mm-hmm. And that's just something that I, you know, thought would be cool. He's got this, you know, this opportunity to, you know, humor people and share that with the reader. So now that is actually part of his character. He's able to break this fourth wall for a reason, which we'll see in the crossover series.
Oh, okay.
So,
which is really, because that's really something, a complete departure from the main title, and that never happened in that main book. He never did that, and it's really given the, you know, Jack its own, you know, unique quality, among other things.
Yeah. Well, it's not really a spinoff anymore as much as it is really its own book. It started very much as a spinoff, but you know, it's Jack of Fables now.
Yeah,
which is you know, a credit to the art and the writing of the book.
Hell yeah!
another book that William Hammond Sturgis do is House of Mystery, and you've actually you did one of the interlude stories, did you not?
What
you didn't you did you do one of the interlude stories?
Yeah, I did. I did.
He's got his notes.
Don't argue with
the notes.
Yeah. Well,
ComicBookDB.com says that.
Thank you to comicbookdatabase.com.
Yeah, what was that?
For letting Chris stalk.
What was that? It's like, it's, yeah, that was a pirate story, wasn't it? And it was House of Mystery number 10.
Okay, so it's a couple months back.
It was Penny the Pirate. Yeah, wait, there it is. Do you have it? No, it's a Glenn Fabry cover. She's got a violin.
I'm trying to remember. I know I read it. Yeah. Well, what it, if for those that maybe don't read House of Mystery, the characters within the book always are telling their own stories, and that's when you'll have different artists come in and write or draw.
Mm-hmm.
They're not backup stories. Yeah, the interlude. Yeah, interlude stories.
Yeah,
almost.
Which is a brilliant
flashbacks.
Idea.
Yeah.
Oh, we have it.
Oh, we do have it.
Yeah, we do have it.
The Glenn Fabry.
Which, we've seen some some pretty amazing artists. David Peterson from Mouse Guard. Mm-hmm. Jill Thompson did.
Yes.
What was the first one that really kind of freaked me out? The fly story.
Yeah. That wasn't...
Creepy stuff.
What's his name? The guy who does the Pilgrims.
Oh, Fraser Irving.
Was it Fraser Irving?
You know, it may have been, but yeah, I love that. That's one of the things that I really enjoy about that book. But this is House of Mystery is a book that I could see you working on regularly.
Oh, thank you.
There it is.
Who's the fantastic author, Gabriel Garcia? Help me, Marquez. Thank you, it's Marquez. I was. Someone was reading it, and I said, "You know, I every time I read him, I feel like I've dreamt that book. I've dreamt that story, and apparently that's how he wrote. He wrote like it was these were dreams or memories of dreams. So when I do stories, that's kind of how it happens. You know, I feel that, you know, I read the script and I did the art." But it becomes a dream.
It fades away. Is it like a dream?
Yeah, it's a strange sensation. So I recall the story, and there it is right in front of me. And for the life of me, I can't remember the this crazy bitch's name. Penny the Pirate. But it was a stellar story. Matt wrote it.
Yeah.
Alex Wald colored. We'll be seeing more of Alex.
Wald, local guy, right?
Local guy.
Yeah, he was at the Windy City Comic Con.
Yeah. I love drawing this story.
Now that it's all coming back.
Now that I'm looking at it, this is great.
Oh no, that's not you.
Oh shit. Oh yeah. You know what? This is what I love to do. I love to just. Is this FCC?
No, say whatever you want.
I just love to fuck stuff up. You know,
I'm putting a sword through this dude's neck.
Exactly. I'm gonna have this guy catch a gun blast to the face. And have his eyeballs fly out. You know, it's just.
I was rereading the first arc of Jack Fable's the Nearly Great Escape.
Yes,
and the scene where Jack falls out of the tree onto the spiked fence.
Yes.
Oh man, I'm just like, oh, that's.
The arc where he has the Sword of Merlin stuck through him for three issues. He's just running around with a sword through him the whole time. It's like.
Bill told, I think it was at San Diego, 2007, Bill says, you know, we're going to have Excalibur appear in Jack. And I'm like, oh, it's cool.
In Jack.
Yeah, it's like, no, you don't understand. It's going to be in Jack through the entire arc. Like, okay. You know?
What kind of reference do you use for that?
Right. And so for while I'm waiting for this the writing, I'm imagining what's going to happen because he said, I don't know how it's going to happen. You know, they're going to be out west and you know, I think he originally said that, you know, it's going to be some old guy in a motorcycle is going to come by just like chuck it at Jack and it's going to like go through him. And so I start thinking about the mechanics of it, the physics of it. Cuz you know, this shit's got to look real. I think, okay, maybe Jack is like on the side of the road and the guy throws the sword while Jack's like on his hands and knees and the sword passes through the top of his head. It just like travels down through his skull, his neck. And so the sword is basically sticking out on the top of his head. Okay, he can walk through the entire issue like that. You know, he can't bend over or anything. But no, the sword is like basically right through his solar plexus, you know,
this is going to cause some problems.
Yeah.
And maybe one of my favorite ends to an arc was how he got the sword out. I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but it was great.
Which was brilliant. Yeah,
it's fantastic. It was pure Jack.
Yeah. Pure Jack. You know, I mean, come on. You know, other than Jimmy Olsen stories, I can't think of anything better.
Jack definitely does have sort of a Jimmy Olsen to him. I mean, he's running around and.
Yeah,
and not quite the hero, but
you know, he's got the power.
Yeah,
his stuff's gonna go wrong. Yeah. Pants are coming down.
There's definitely a lot of that. There's a lot of women, a lot of sleeping around. There's Jack's
trauma somewhere. Yeah, you were talking about the scene where he skewers himself.
Yeah, and he's talking to the guy. He's like, this hurts really, really bad. And I'm probably going to start crying maybe a little bit in just a minute. And if you tell anyone, I'm going to kill you.
Right. it's truly great. And again, the mechanics of the story. Okay, these are fairy tale characters. These are fictional characters who are living in our world. So they have... the way I approach it is they have a sort of a blurred line of reality, of physics anyway. So like when that branch broke under Jack, and again in a recent issue, you'll see his physical characteristics kind of shift, like his eyes will bug.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's simply Tex Avery coming through me. And that's stuff that I liked to work in this book, like when he clocks Goldilocks with the shotgun.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
She sees stars, and in the next panel, those same stars are laying on the ground
right
by her, because that in their reality,
that happens in the Fables
universe.
Yeah,
that's a very real thing. So, I try to, not do it all the time, but pick and choose. I throw things at the writers for that possibly they can pick up and use later.
Mm-hmm. Building the mythos of that world, how the things work. And
you but know. At the same time, I have to be really careful because there are a lot of characters in both these stories. And the fans who are tremendous, they call us on it. Well, they call Matt and Bill on it. I you know, I just like, yeah, that was my bad. Cover it up. So you have to it's like the tortoise and the hare. We had a problem with the tortoise and the hare appearing in two different places, and the writers, got us out of it, brilliantly. And
that's right, because they were in the compound in that first arc.
What? I can't. I can't talk about that.
Oh.
It never happened. Mm. Well, going back to that, I was and something you said earlier about the Tex Avery kind of stuff and the more cartoonish sort of things you add to it. That whole story arc of the compound and the amount of characters that were in that.
Oh boy,
how much fun was that, or how much work was that? Sort of the character designs for all those, and
it's fun once you you have parameters. Okay, the writers will tell you this is who is there, this is who can't be there, and then after that you kind of have to think, that covers six characters in this scene, but we've got to have at least 25 in this shot. Who are the rest of these people? And so what I do is I think, okay, well, these are basically refugees from all these other worlds. And so, so there's millions of, munchkins from the Oz world. There's tons of Lilliputians. There's other peoples from other places that are supporting cast for these other key players, and so these are the people.
That's what you use as your background.
In the background, yeah.
The extras
exactly. In all the other stories.
Exactly. Yeah, it's so. Munchkins over here. There's a witch there.
Exactly, and sometimes these characters end up getting names and lives of their own.
Well, I think I can't think of the character's name. The egg.
Humpty Dumpty.
Yeah, that was one of my sad characters. Just great. I loved I love what you did with him and just sort of his ever changing cracks and different and just Thank it got you. Worse and worse and oh poor Humpty
falling apart. Humpty was terrific because it was his story. I didn't know. The origin, the Colchester English Civil War origin. So when I found that out, it just added, the gravity of the English Civil War and what that did to or what hand that had in history and doing the research, looking at the costumes and then thinking about Humpty. What his origin was, and now here he is in this prison camp, and I'm sure it's very stressful to him.
Which is not good for an egg.
Is not good for an egg. So it's just he's probably really cracked, sad, and come on. So yeah, that's kind of you luck out with characters like that.
This portion of Around Comics is brought to you by Netflix. Right now, you can start a free 2-week trial by going to www.netflix.com/aroundcomics. At Netflix, you'll find over 100,000 titles to choose from, including classics and new releases, as well as TV series. Plans start from as low as $4.99 a month, and you can keep each movie as long as you want with no late fees, ever. Netflix has free shipping both ways, and you can expect your next selection to be delivered in about one business day. Now watch some movies and TV series over the internet for no extra charge. I use this service with my Xbox 360 and personal laptop and love it. So head over to www.netflix.com/aroundcomics and get started with your free trial today.
Everybody's misused him, ripped him off and abused him. Another
like, I mean, most of the female Fables that show up are very tardish, very very sexy, yeah. Very. Yeah. Is there ever a time where you go, well, I don't, you know, do you ever see like there's a line, like, you know, at some point this is a children's fable character.
I know.
Yes, you're writing an adult oriented book, yeah. But is there ever a line in your mind where like, yeah, I just can't do that. I can't go there. I can't.
Well. Haven't
gotten there.
Haven't reached that line yet. I have not reached that line yet. But there has been an instance where I've pulled back from the original line, like Bucky established Cinderella. I don't know, issue 7 or 8 or something like that, where she's fighting Bluebeard,
mm-hmm.
And they're training, and you know she's an Amazon. You know, I mean they're you know she's and I. Thought that when I got my chance to draw Cinders in issue 22, it was romance, and it was she was played against Ichabod Crane,
mm-hmm.
And so I redressed her a little bit. I thought, okay, this is Cinderella. You know, she's of the three sisters. You know, she was. You know, the abused, so she's probably small, you know, probably the runt. And so I kind of treated her like that. So I based her on a friend of mine and who I was sharing the studio with at the time, not Jill, someone else. And she's very petite, very blonde. And I thought, you know, this is who Cinderella it was probably she would, like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, and then I gave her this forelock that always fell on her face because that's, you know, that's that forelock when you're down on the floor scrubbing.
Mm-hmm. And she was, that always gets in. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's where I kind of reined one female character in from, you know, this tall original, Amazon yeah. too. And it changed the culture around Cindy because now Bucky draws Cinders in that fashion. So I think that's pretty cool, but pretty much the women characters, I try to make them all
mm-hmm.
hot, mm-hmm. or in the case of Goldie, hot and crazy.
Yes.
Hot, yeah. Yeah. Hot and crazy.
In
can't
armed.
Forget the crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damaged. She's touched. She's damaged.
Good. And Jack has absolutely no caring about that.
No. Oh God. If you could just see what's on my table now, I can't tell you. There's no low that this man will not, you know, ardently strive for.
It's you know, well, that's what's so fun about that character is that he does his best to be as unheroic as possible, and yet sometimes he ends up being heroic,
yeah.
to his chagrin. You know,
yeah, yeah. He's a piece of work. He's something to watch.
Hey, you had mentioned the Gwen Fabry cover on House of Mystery, but
yes.
that's one of the things that's been a staple for Fables and Jack of Fables is the absolutely gorgeous cover work,
mm-hmm.
and kind of starting with James Jean,
yeah.
and who's a master cover yeah. artist, and
yeah.
I have a feeling he's off making. Good money outside of comics right now as a guest because I think he's.
I would think, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would think. I mean, you know, God bless James Jane. I mean, he is just hideously talented and I love his work. It's, I get, I actually just got a volume of all of his Fables covers.
Yeah.
And, you know, I go to his blog, Process Recess, and it just, you know, it's, I love the way he works. How he works, it's, he won't call me.
But some of the other cover artists that have worked on the series,
Brian Boland, who
he's
all right. Yeah, he's okay.
He's
okay.
Pretty good.
He's,
yeah,
you know,
he does.
He's from this farm outside of London, which you know, sometimes you know you get the town idiots in these little mm-hmm. towns. Sometimes you get, you know, the master artist.
Yeah,
you know,
you get lucky once
yeah.
in a while.
I'm actually reading Camelot 3000.
Yeah, so
for the first time since it originally came out. And it's I love seeing his sequential stuff.
Oh yeah, it's you just want to see more of it. I was. Yeah. talking to him in New York in February. We were doing the signing. He sat next to me, and it's actually the first time I've met him. And, you know, it's just like, holy crap, this is Brian.
This is him.
Brian Boland. So, I don't know, what do you say? Do you, nice to meet you. And the cover for Jack of Fables 32, that's got the pig on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
I was complimenting him on that. And I was like, you know, that pig is great. Is that one of your pigs? Because
he lives on a farm. Do you own that particular pig?
Right, sir. Exactly. Is that one of your pigs? He's like, I'm sorry. I'm like, well, you live on a farm, right? You have a farm. And he's like, because there's this the publicity photo of him,
mm-hmm,
in waders and you know, he looks like a country gentleman. And it's like, oh, well, he has a farmhouse.
It's not that kind of farm.
Right. It's not that kind of farm. It's not that kind of farm. It's an asylum. That's what we call them in England. He lives in a farmhouse. But he has no animals. It's outside of London. I think Surrey or Suffolk or something like that. And the waiters, the farmhouse has a moat. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, of course it does. Of course it does.
I know. Everything's got a moat in England. So, he was cleaning out the moat. That's why he was in the waiters. And so his wife took the photo and he thought, oh, this would be great for my publicity photo. So
it wasn't his pig. Did he have to borrow the pig?
I'm sure he probably there's plenty of
pigs
in Suffolk or Surrey. You know, it's what they do there. Well, it's like Arkansas.
Speaking of Brian Boland, you brought something here that has a Brian Boland, mm-hmm, cover. What do we got here?
Oh, Jack of Fables. Yeah, it's a Jack of Fables. It's I actually just received this in the mail today from good people at DC Vertigo, and I thought that it would be a treat if I was to read a couple pages from this. It's from The Bad Prince, which is the new collection. Is this a new collection? Well, it's one of the collections of Jack. And this is where...
Page 5 is the last one.
Yeah, where Jack is in the Grand Canyon. And I thought that your listeners would just enjoy short reading.
A Tony Akins reading of Jack of Fables.
So here's Jack of Fables by Bill Willingham and Matt Sturges, drawn by yours truly. We begin. Sì, una volta bro un dio, o un semido, o un semisemido. Chi lo sa qual è il termine corretto, il fatto e c'è non ero. It works better when I'm louder. Una pacio tipo
massimi. Louder and slower.
Una patin.
Man.
Aveva. The cemente più svetaghi che vetaghi.
Where did you learn German?
It's actually... this is actually an Italian volume. Thank you very much. If it's not Cyrillic or Sanskrit, I'll throw my ass at it like a... This is an Italian, and I... Oh, God.
How cool is that, seeing your stuff like that?
This is so embarrassing because my editor, Angela Ruffino, speaks, she's fluent. She's Italian.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
She grew up in Italy and she moved here. So she's fluent in Italian. If she hears this, she will hot glue my eyelids to the back of my skull.
What's her name again? I'll get her.
Angela Ruffino.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Yeah, Jack in Italian.
Jack in Italian. Yeah, it's great. It's
Is this the first... foreign language translation of Jack? Or?
No. All of the trades come out in Spanish and Italian.
Okay.
I've yet to see a German trade.
Have you done any overseas conventions?
No, I would so love to go to Spain. If you're listening,
Spain.
We had Sal Abinanti was on a couple weeks ago, and he does an Italian convention every year. What's the? Do you remember the name of that convention in Italy?
No.
Yeah, but he does.
Don't got it.
Yeah, he does. He does an Italian one. Says he loves it. Loves his time over there.
Yeah.
Except artists don't charge for sketches. Can't charge for sketches. Next.
Well, you know, I don't know what to say to that.
Yeah.
it's yeah. If I'm sitting at somebody asks me to do a sketch,
mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting on the DC pad, I will not charge.
Yeah,
I will
yeah.
not charge. But if I have a table, which I never have, I go to conventions just to have fun.
Noticed.
Yeah. if I go, that's right. Yeah. I don't even know if I should have a table.
You got one in September.
You gotta get
one.
Just give me a sandwich board.
And you walk around.
I'll walk around. You know,
we'll give you a table with wheels.
Yeah, there
on
you
it.
Go. There you go.
So, yeah. I mean, do you do many conventions?
I don't. I'm actually very impatient with conventions. Sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, I like to go and see people.
Sure.
You
sure.
know.
Ours is 8 hours one day.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
Here in town.
Which is terrific. In New York, I think I was on the floor a total of 3 hours
mm-hmm.
during the whole thing because, you know, 2 hours on the first day to like check stuff out. And the rest of the time, you know what? It's like you're in friggin' New York.
Yeah.
You know? Let's go to Queens, do some crime.
Like sit around a convention center and.
So, yeah, but I enjoy, you know, being on the pad. I like sitting, you know, at, you know, on the floor. And
is that kind of another weird thing since you were away from comics for a while? It's the idea of going to a convention and people, you know, eagerly coming up to your table and praising you for your work. And, you know,
it's cool.
You don't get that in advertising.
No, you don't get that.
Man, those storyboards for that Coke commercial. Oh my God. It means
so
much to me.
Can you sign those for me?
Yeah. Oh, that's one of the things I despise about advertising. It really is. I mean,
no fans. There's
no fans. It's no fans. It's like, here's a script.
The closest to praise you would get is like, could you change this and do it better next time?
Yeah. That's about- you know, God bless capitalism. But I got to tell you, yeah, advertising is it's thankless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really is.
It's only the only praise you get is, oh, this has been on my desk for 3 weeks. I forgot to give it to you.
Yeah.
Can you have this back to me tomorrow by 8 a.m.? You're the best. Thanks. I'm going home.
God.
Ugh, asshole.
Well, you know, it's not about you. Yeah, it pays the bills, and it's not about you.
Sure. But you know, on the comic side of having people who are fans of your work and will go to meet you at a convention, mm-hmm. is that kind of odd for you?
It is kind of odd because I'm not especially outgoing.
Not true.
Well, you know, this is like I can do, but it's like the idea of going to cons, you know, and it's a little off-putting because, you know, 70,000 people, you know,
yeah.
in San Diego. I try to stay balanced about it. You know, I try to do the best work I can because I have so many friends who are so talented that I have to make a good showing. You
sure.
know, so I try to do the best that I can, and I try to bring it because, you know, it's like I when I look at a comic, I look at guys, you know, like Art Adams or John Romita Jr., Dave Gibbons, Alex, Raymond, Jack Davis, you know, these are guys, I look at these guys and go, you know, it's just like, I love what they do. I just
sure.
love what they do. You know, screw reading the story. I just want to see the art. and so that's what I try to do. I just, you know, since I was small, tiny, you know, which is pretty incredible to think about. I liked nothing better in the world than drawing, and that's pretty much what this is all about. So even when I was doing advertising, storyboarding, I counted myself fortunate to have this as a job.
Oh, sure.
To work with in a studio with six other people who were all insanely talented. And that was the upside mm-hmm. of storyboarding. It's just like your colleagues, they're first rate. And now being back in comics, getting to do, you know, just this sort of work for fans, mm-hmm. it's terrific.
Fun,
you know?
Entertainment stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Entertainment. Yeah. So I count myself fortunate. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I remember when Marvels first came out.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And I was with Alex Ross and Monty Beauchamp, who does Blab. We were at a restaurant down in River East, and I can't remember what we were talking about, but you know, it's just, I had to get back to work, so we all left, paid the bill, came out, and we were at Planet Hollywood because Ross was doing the research for the scene in Kingdom Come where the restaurant.
Oh, the yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Sure.
So we were in Planet Hollywood. Anyway, so we had lunch. We're leaving. And Monty and Alex are by, you know, by a car talking. So, you know, it's like, guys, oh, I'll catch up with you later. I got to get back. I've got work to do. And I'm walking away, and there's a bike messenger on the corner, okay, who stopped. And he's looking past me. And I walk past him, and he goes, "It's Alex Ross, right?" So this is like, okay, Alex has arrived. So I've actually had moments like that since coming back, and it's cool. You know, I mean, nothing on that scale, but, you know, people who, like, oh, you know.
Fables fans are pretty dedicated fans.
Yeah, they are very dedicated fans. So I'll, like, go to Kinko's, and I'm sending stuff off, and it's like, hey, that's, you know, I read that book. You're that guy. And I'm like, yeah, you know, cool. It's cool. But at the same time, you know, it's just like, okay, I just got to keep doing a good job. You know, you got to keep the editors happy. You keep the fans happy. You know, it's not a,
yeah, there's always another artist behind you. That's ready
always
to be, you know,
another
yeah.
artist behind you. And you're only, like I was telling this to someone the other day, you're only as good as your last page.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's how I approach this. You know, it's, you know, some pages, you know, work, you know, if you work it right, some pages just don't live up to what they should be. But you know what? You just keep going because you have to. And, you know, I was watching a film with Frank Langella starting out in the evening, and he was a writer, an old writer, you know, dying, trying to get his last book out. And he explained it as the madness of art. And that's what it is. You're compelled to do this. So if I wasn't doing comics, I'd probably be working in animation,
be drawing something,
be somewhere. Drawing something.
Sure. Something, sure. Yeah. Well, we've talked about the Fables crossover, and before we wrap things up here, I definitely want to give people the information on that, because this is a big Fables 3-issue event.
Yes, and April, May, and June,
and it starts in what comic and what issue?
He doesn't know that.
Darn it, you're going to make me do my research, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, look, it's
all over the internet. Go check it out.
It's all over the internet. Yeah. Unless they start, mm-hmm. you should see my email. I'm serious, because it's kind of like it's like the Sooners race. You know, that famous land bolt and whatever that was for Oklahoma, where, you know, everybody's like lined up in a wagon and somebody
just waiting for,
you know, it's like that. You know, it's like the crossover started, and then, you know, this page is flying. You know, Bucky, you know, Russ, me, Andrew, here's the inks for so-and-so, and everything's cross-referenced, okay?
Nice.
You know, so, okay, here's pages, you know, 16, 17, and 18 from Literals 2. You'll see Kevin doing this, and it's like, okay, you'll need that for that scene where, you know, Sam comes through here, and he's like, oh, God, you know, and it's enough. To,
who's the editor on this?
Shelly Bond is the principal editor.
Poor She's, girl.
Well, you know what, Shelly, you know, God bless her, Shelly rocks. Shelly rocks.
That sounds like an editing, yeah, writing, yeah, art nightmare.
Yeah.
But
well,
if you pull it off, that'll be awesome.
This is, you know, she's.
No, yeah. It's going to be an issue of Fables, an issue of Jack of Fables, and then the third issue, does it go back to Fables, or is it a kind of a one-off?
Okay.
Here we go.
Here we go.
He's going to figure it out right now.
The most important two issues of the entire crossover, all right, are Fables issue number 84 and 85.
Okay.
Because Jack's in them.
No.
Okay.
Of course.
All right. And that's all I know. but then there's the literals. Literals 1 and 2, which Bucky.
What are the literals?
In
or can
the,
you say?
I'll say a little bit. The literals are awesome. That's all I'll say.
That's it. That's all you're gonna
that's,
say.
There you go. That's all. That's all they need.
I have to remember what.
That's all you need. Yeah.
Yeah. I have to remember what's out. Issue 33 is out, right? Of Jack of Fables.
Where is all right. 80 issue 83 that hit stands on April 15th is the first issue in the crossover, Fables number 83. And then let's see. It goes. The months of April, May, and June, encompassing issues in all.
Actually, I got it.
Good Lord, I can't believe it doesn't say it here. That's all it says.
Well, this is what we know. We know that.
It was in the back. It was in the back of House of Mystery this week.
Oh, okay, sweet.
So there we go. That's yeah. It's they've got they're putting it in the little Vertigo. Page at the end of the
we'll
book.
We'll splice now. All this together.
And so while you guys are doing this,
you're
research,
having a fine I'm having vanilla moon pie.
Oh, it's actually it's banana moon.
Oh,
pie.
Oh, it's banana. Banana oh, moon I'm sorry.
Pie. And when I get my fix for moon pies, I usually go to Candiality at the corner of Southport and Newport in Chicago. Candiality. Ask for Teresa.
I'm sorry. It is 6 issues. Wait, no, 9 issues. 9 issues.
Nine
sorry.
Issues.
It is 9 issues. It's 3 books.
3 books.
Okay. It starts in Fables 83. So it'd probably be 83, 84, 85.
Right.
And it's continues through 3 issues each of Fables, Jack of Fables, and The Literals.
Which is a new book.
From April through June. So The Literals, is that a new Fables spinoff?
Yeah, yes it is.
Oh, so they're expanding the universe.
We are taking over.
Wow.
We are taking over. We are a robust, healthy, hungry team. And I swear to God, we're the best team at Vertigo, hands down. Hands down. Hands down.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Don't argue with me! Don't argue with me!
Jason Aaron and Aram Gwar are going to come after you at the next show. And Jason's a big boy. So
let him.
What, bring it up. Right, it's just two. It's like Azzarello and Rizzo. It's just two guys, man. You guys win by numbers.
And they're scrawny.
Azzarello's pretty wiry, though. Yeah, he's a wiry guy.
You know Azzarello. Yeah. Hey, Azzarello has a razor angry. Blade in his shoe. You know he does. You know he does.
Yeah. No, it's an awesome team. Shelley, who is a Big Mama editor. She's a group editor at Vertigo. It's... when I first came on the series, I was under Shelley Bond, and now her assistant editor Angela Rufino is the principal editor on Jack of Fables, but Shelley's still, you know, oversees.
And she curses everyone out in Italian whenever they're behind schedule.
I'm going to ask for that now.
Nice.
I will only listen to you.
Speak to me in Italian.
Yeah. I think that. Yeah. I'm going to ask for that. Yeah. She's actually planning her wedding. In which is taking place in St. Peter's Basilica. no, I'm kidding.
I was going to say, holy cow.
It's editor's getting good these days.
It is going to be in Italy, but it's not going to be in St. Peter's Basilica.
Nice.
Well, there was something else you had mentioned before we started recording that you wanted to tell us about
on here in Chicago.
Oh yeah, I plugged Candiality on Newport and Southport.
Yes, is that someone you know, Teresa over there?
Teresa,
or she just give you throw you a few free moon pies if you?
She threw this at me as I was because I was at FedEx on Southport.
It wasn't in anger, was it?
The hangar? What?
No, it wasn't in anger.
No, it wasn't in anger. It wasn't in anger. So I'm looking at my watch. It's 5 to 8. I'm like, oh God, I got to get over to Dark Tower on Western Avenue.
Yeah. So you can sit here for a half hour while we run along on the last episode.
Right. So, and I walk past Candiality and they're closed. They've been closed for an hour. But I tried the door anyway. And
then he pulls out some pickpocket.
Then he starts knocking.
Or some lockpick devices.
Damn. So they're closed. So I'm walking towards the L to get my ass over here. And I hear, Tony! I turn around. And there's one of the shop girls. I can't remember her name. And she's like waving this moon pie. She goes, Teresa says, give this to you. I'm like, oh, God.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
I know. You must be a hell of a customer. I am. Well, Candiality.
I ordered
for them to know you by name.
Yeah, yeah.
Bring you moon pies.
And to bring me moon pies. I'm like, oh. And when I saw that door was locked, I'm like, well, you know, at least I'm not going to go in there and, like, get, like, strung out on sugar. So that was one plug.
The other here
plug,
you are drinking a cherry Coke and eating a moon pie. Hey, so you're on your way.
I'm not,
like an 11-year-old boy.
we're going to go run after this.
I am in a comic book store, so, yes. You know. But I also wanted to give a shout out to Wild Claw Theater. Charlie Athen is over there, and those guys who just like do outstanding productions of like contemporary horror. They have a show that's coming up in October called Death Scribe, which is a competition where writers submit short plays, and these plays are read in the style of radio plays.
Oh, cool.
It's very cool. I was a judge at one of the show last October, and it's cool as hell because they do this at the Music Box Theater, and they're cast and crew get up on stage. The actors read these short plays, and they have a Foley artist up there. Cool. And you sit there, you close your eyes, and it's like you listen to old school radio. So it's a competition of 10 plays written by different authors.
Would they take an adaptation of the Christmas Story starring comic book artists? Because I've done that.
Well, you know what? They are taking submissions. So if you just like Google Wild Claw Theater.
Wild Claw.
I'm going to check that. That sounds. I'm a big fan of like old-time radio. We've done a couple of jokey adaptations of
one of them was actually pretty. We did our Spooktacular from 2 years ago.
We did our Spooktacular. We did an EC comic and we rewrote it as
Voodoo Death
as a stage play kind of thing, awesome. A radio play. And then we did a Christmas Story with Mike Norton and Scotty Young as
Mike Norton. Awesome.
Yes, Mike was the ghost of comics.
Presence?
I don't remember which one he was, but
great.
I rewrote that to fit sort of a comic book theme, and I want to do War of the Worlds. That's my next.
I want to
adapt War of the Worlds to have a sort of comic book feel to it. I might have to drag you in. You're a local guy, so I might have to get to do a part in War of the Worlds.
Yeah. I'll send you the link to our EC one,
okay.
Which was and the Christmas one.
So. The Christmas one. I liked the Christmas one was fun. It was pain in the ass to edit together, but it was fun to do.
It was fun stuff. Yeah. Wild Claw Theater.
Wild Claw Theater. They're a theater production group. They put on, they do horror. They do horror like nobody else does. Cool. And I was talking to the stage manager for their current production, and she was complaining because there's a scene. If you go to their website, I think there's a video of it, where there's an actor who cuts his own throat on stage, and I guess they overcranked the pump on the blood.
Oh no!
So he got up into the
rafters of the music box.
So and after there's just blood everywhere. She has to like clean the stage up before the next scene.
Comes on,
but there's still blood dripping down from the rafters.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Sounds cool. I'm going to check that out. Absolutely.
Yeah. I might be able to find out more information at the Music Box as well. So,
yes.
The Music Box is awesome.
It's a beautiful place.
It is a classic movie theater that has really kept its grandeur.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Chicago. So that's you weren't with speaking of Norton and Hank and I saw Godfather 2 there a few months back.
Yes, you did.
And it was neat to see a new print of the Godfather 2 there. It was fantastic. Well, I tell you what, what's you ready to wrap this one up?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Akins, anything else that you want to chit-chat about before we finish up here?
I do want to throw out one thing. I was watching, I was talking to John about this earlier, and I watch a lot of film when I'm working, and I was on TCM the other night, and they were running Gregory Peck in Moby Dick, and I'm thinking it's time for a Moby Dick remake.
You could do that really well now with the CGI.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
Get who could play Ahab?
Clooney.
Clooney as Ahab.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, you know, it's
Moby Dick.
Yeah.
I can see that.
I can see it too.
They'll just maybe like Michael Bay to direct.
Oh God.
And they'll just be like giant explosions and they'll just call it Big Dick. How's that? Maybe?
Why are there rockets on this whale?
Dick. Yeah.
Samuel L. Jackson as Captain Ahab.
Yes, now we're talking. You go. Sam Jackson.
There you go.
Call me Ahab, motherfucker!
Yeah.
Now you're
Where is my harpoon? Where is my harpoon?
Get that Kevlar tip in his eye. Teflon tip. I'm sorry.
That's Blockbuster, right there. That's worth 10.50 to me.
Oh, Blockbuster. All right. Well, hey, we do have some emails and voicemails. We'll probably bump them until next time that we record.
Next week.
So if you would like to email the show, you can certainly do so, and we welcome it at info@aroundcomics.com. Mm-hmm. You can also send in a voicemail by dialing 1-888-997-5903.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd love to hear from you. Had some great voicemails last week, so keep them coming, folks.
We're working on the technology.
Yes.
To possibly have some live
Skype-ins
at some point. We may try and do that at some point.
We have the technology. Now we just need the proper internet connection.
Yes, that's the issue. So we're working on it.
We're close. We're close. Yeah. It's amazing what $12 in cables
at Radio Shack can do you.
Yeah. So we'll see. Oh, and a big audio board mixer.
Yeah, a couple of laptops.
Yeah, exactly. $3,000
worth of equipment. Yeah, once you get past that, it's easy.
We, as always, are proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. And for more information, you can visit heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809.
Yes.
And that's actually the one time I've been able to sit down and talk with Bill Willingham was at the Hero Initiative booth in Seattle or San Francisco. It may have been San Francisco. I think it was a wonderful.
You know what I should have mentioned?
And Bill's a big supporter of Hero Initiative.
You have Bill Willingham and Mark Buckingham, mm-hmm. and I just collectively call them Billingham.
So do I.
Do you? All right. Well, then, see? It's Billingham.
Mm-hmm.
It's Billingham. Yeah.
So do I.
All right. I'm glad that that's...
Yeah.
Tell them that...
It's catching
them,
on.
Do you call mm-hmm. them that to their face?
No.
Just behind their back?
No. All right. No, it's just something I...
Just refer to them.
Mm-hmm.
So now we can think of, like, Aiken, Sturgis...
My goal.
Stakens?
Stakens, yeah.
Maybe.
Sure.
Doesn't have quite the charm of Billingham.
Well, I go Billingham, then I go Sturgingham. Oh,
okay. Sturgingham.
Yeah.
Works.
It does work.
Oh, all right.
There you go. I want to thank everyone for the iTunes music reviews here lately. I really appreciate it. It's a great way to help us spread the word. Thanks to Docs in the Box, Gambit, 4444, and Aikenham. Nice.
Oh, there you go.
Nice. Aikenham.
Aikenham.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Spider Dude. And I dare someone to leave us an iTunes music review with the username Aikenham.
Yes.
Awesome. All right. You can drop by aroundcomics.com for other neat stuff like our forum and whatever social networking we're working on any given day. Speaking of social networking.
Stupid crap we're putting up there.
You can follow us on Twitter. Tony, do you tweet?
No, I don't tweet. I Facebook and mm-hmm. I have an overlooked blog on Blogspot, which I'm going to
revamp.
Yeah, totally revamp.
You should get on the Twitter, man.
Yeah,
nah,
Sturgis Twitters.
The Sturgis Twitter?
Yeah, quite a bit.
All right.
Talks about how much you rock.
It's going to be over in 6 months.
Well, what else are you going to talk about? God, I'm a bastard.
All right. We mentioned the Windy City Comic Con. Remember to make your plans to attend the 2009 Windy City Comic Con and meet Tony Aikens. It's taking
place. If you can tie him down for five minutes, maybe we may have to handcuff him to his table.
Yeah, there's going to be an ankle lock and a big
low
big
jack. Ball. We're going to low jack him.
Yeah, you're going to be low jacked to your table.
Always try to keep the black man down.
It is taking place on Saturday, September 19th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. It's only 8 hours, man. It's one day.
It's awesome. It's an awesome show.
We had a lot of fun.
He was there last year.
Yeah.
Just showed up.
I did.
You didn't pay to get in, did you?
No.
I was going to say.
No.
Well, I don't know. I'm just making
then
sure.
Then you owe us $5.
Oh, yeah.
I lie my way into everything.
Sun just let you in, didn't he?
I would have if he
were. Yeah, you would.
Well, you know, we have taken out the gaming area. We have expanded the creator area.
Yeah, you talked about that.
We're going to have over 70 creators this year. Sweet. Yeah, we're about six. Crap. Yeah, we're about 66, and I think we're going to top out just over 70. So it is a very, very creator centric show.
Yeah,
and
that's what's great about it. I passed that email on to Jill. Did she respond?
I have not heard from her yet.
God, she's a bitch.
Hear that, Thompson?
Just tell me where they live. I'll kidnap you in the morning.
Yeah, we're gonna have Bagman.
Azzarello.
Yeah.
I can fit Azzarello cool. in a trunk.
We're taking him right out of Jack of Fables. Yeah. We're gonna have the Bagman.
Absolutely.
Crew.
I got a van.
Yeah. So Mr. Azzarello, you wanna see what I have in my trunk here? Wakes up at the
Would
center
you
of Gostead.
Could you sign this 100 bullets trade? Clunk. And that's it. Next he wakes up, he's doing a panel at the show.
Damn.
That's all.
I swore I was gonna say this word. I say you just reminded me. Damn.
What?
When we clunk, I remember saying, I'm going to say cudgel.
Cudgel? You wanted to get that in somewhere?
I wanted to get that in. You were trying to
figure out how to fit cudgel.
I was writing over here. I'm going to say cudgel.
Tony's word of the day. I got to work cudgel. This into a sentence. Shit. Cudgel.
I was trying to work it into a sentence. The subtlety and class of a solid gold cudgel.
What is a cudgel?
It's a brute instrument.
A cudgel?
Yeah, cudgel. Yeah.
Cudgel.
Yeah, it's kind of like a. It's like a. It's almost like a mace.
Like a mace.
Yeah, except it's blunter. It's shorter. It's more cudgely.
All right. Well, we learned something from Tony Akins. Thank you for teaching us.
All right.
Informing us.
No more moon pies.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm only halfway done with this one.
Where you could follow Tom versus the Flash as he runs you through the history of the DCU one issue at a time, three times a week. You can also hear a little bit more of me and David Price and Vince B and Jason Wood on 11 o'clock comics.
Alcohol. Anonymous comics. You guys should change the name AAC.
AAC, Alcohol Anonymous Comics. That comes out usually every Friday. And that's it. I'd like to thank Tony for coming by.
Man,
it's good to see you. Don't be a stranger.
Considering my studio's not too far from here. Actually, I've been in here a couple of times, and I just miss you guys.
I
will not.
Yeah, let me know anytime you want to chit-chat, and it's just good to
plug
see you.
Plug candy shops.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anytime I've got plug a candy shop, or...
Plenty of candy shops to plug and blunt instruments to talk about. Gotcha.
Next time, you better, figure out a better way to... Fit that word, fit a word in.
You just reminded me. I would
next time armadillo.
Armadillo.
No, it's too easy. Something.
Archaeopteryx.
What?
What?
That's not a word.
Archaeopteryx.
Is that a word?
Yeah, that's
it. It is now.
Yeah, it's that feathered bird. The first bird. It's like we're dinosaurs. First starting to grow feathers. Yeah. Archaeopteryx.
What I love about artists is that what they do is sit at home all day and draw and watch like Discovery Channel.
So it's a God's honest truth. It's a God's honest truth. I mean, oh my God, I'm missing how it's made.
I'm telling you, Scotty Young gets excited for Shark Week.
Oh, yeah. Well, who doesn't?
Yeah.
I love Shark Week. Yeah.
All right. Well, I would like to thank, obviously, Tony for coming by and spending some time with us. Brian Salazar, as always, Mr. Mark Beatty for hosting us here at beautiful Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. Everyone have a fantastic rest of your week and weekend. Remember, we'll be recording our book club episode on The Adventures of Luther Arkwright. So this is your last call. Go ahead and pick that up. You probably just have enough time to read it, get really confused, come back, listen to our episode, then go back and read it again and still not know what's going on.
I'm picking
but
a simple
it.
Book.
Yeah.
Something easy.
Owlie.
What?
Owlie.
Not Owlie.
Oh, okay.
Owlie.
We'll figure out something.
Something easy.
All right, everyone, have a fantastic rest of your week and weekend. We'll be back again
Jack
next week.
Jack of Fables.
That would be a good one. There you go. In the meantime,
in between time,
we will be everywhere in
and around comics.
Your folks might understand you by and by. Just move on up toward your destination. Though you may find from time to time complications.
Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production, copyright 2009.
Just move on up for peace to the steeple of beautiful people, where there's only one kind. So hush now, child, and don't cry. Your folks might understand you by and by. Move on up and keep on wishing. Remember your dream. Scheme, so keep on pushing. Take nothing less than the supreme best. Do not obey, you must be forsaken.